sounds like riding in an airplane next to the propeller. So, little review, how far we've gotten. On the first class, we've been discussing this topic. A general definition of anartha nivritti was given. There were three sections that we covered. One was analyzing anartha nivritti based on its root cause, or the source of the impure thing in the heart. And then we looked at another list, was characteristic kinds of unsteady devotion in progressive stages. And then on the other side, it was forms of laziness in different stages of relieving and the attempt in relieving oneself from that. So the goal in this exercise, the goal in our devotional practice, is to become steady. And if you recall, I mentioned that that list of causes of unsteadiness were characterized by the kind of determination that we have, from weaker to, at least as we progress, stronger determination to become steady and exemplary performers of devotion. So here's a nice quote. This evening we'll have a series of quotes just to illustrate or elaborate further on points that I'd like to make. So this is a quote where a devotee is asking Srila Prabhupada, they're in Vrindavan, they're in New Vrindavan, in June of 1976, a garden conversation, a devotee is asking Prabhupada about achieving a realization of one's spiritual form. Very elevated subject. And Prabhupada replies by saying, essentially, there's no way that you can even begin to understand a question like that, or the answer to a question like that, unless you're free from anarthas. So you shouldn't even consider trying to fathom such a thing, unless you become free from anarthas. And he goes on. Then he says, our real business should be coming free from the material condition of life itself. Our motivation should be to get free from birth, death, disease, old age. Prabhupada's comment, yes, that is already explained. But you must be determined how to execute devotional service. Without determined devotional service, how can we achieve that position? So what is the use of talking utopian? First business is anartha nivritti syat. Adavshadha tatatada sangha tabhajana kriya tatoa anartha nivritti syat. These are stages given by Rupa Goswami. Remember, a little faith, devotee association, practicing devotional activity, and then anartha nivritti, those four stages. You adopt this means that you have got full faith that Krishna consciousness will save me. Then you will live with devotees who are similarly determined. Then you execute devotional service. Then, anartha nivritti syat, you'll be free from all these unwanted things. Then he says, up to anartha nivritti, you have to struggle very hard with determination. Sound familiar? Anybody? Struggling hard with... So the steadiness is the steadiness of determination. And there are things that... You know, there's... Jnana tara, there's... Ready determination... Whoops! Slackening determination. Steady determination. Oh, relaxing again. So there's the unsteadiness. So a measure of that is, of that determination, is how much we're infested with anarthas. Here's another quote. Devotees sometimes ask, how can I do some self-evaluation to see how well I'm progressing in spiritual life? This is a very important thing to do. Bhaktivinoda Thakur regularly made that point of emphasis, that it's part of something that a devotee should do. We should take a little inventory at intervals of time, just check and see how am I progressing on this spiritual path. So Prabhupada is speaking in a lecture in Bombay, 1974. That is the test, whether you are actually progressing. If you are still attached to these bhakti, parishanu, bhavo, viraktir, if you are not detestful to all these nonsense habits, then you must know that you are not making any progress. You are not making any progress. Because this is the result, anartha nivritti syat. If you are actually making advancement in bhajana kriya, then this attachment will be finished. No more. And as John was saying earlier today, param drishtva navartate. So the higher taste, not by force, but appreciating something better, condition of life, one rejects all this nonsense, that is advancement. Bhajana kriya. By bhajana kriya, by being initiated and executing the bhajan, now one just becomes detestful to these unwanted things. He goes on. If our attachment for this material enjoyment, if our attachment is for this material enjoyment, that is bondage. That means we have to accept another body, tata dehantara prapti. You cannot avoid, because if you infect some disease, then you must suffer from it. If you infect, that is a practical knowledge. If you infect some disease, karanam guna sanga, as soon as you infect this tamogun rajogun, you have to, what is called, immune from the infection. That immunity is Krishna consciousness, and if you are not immune, you are subjected to the infection. Then you must get another body of the same quality. So, several things. Prabhupada is paralleling this process of advancing in Krishna consciousness with becoming free from the modes of nature, and the lower qualities of the modes of nature, which he's likening to an infection, subsides, then one exhibits qualities of goodness. So one of the topics for this weekend is the role, what the Bhagavatam says about character development, character education. There's a nice quote in that regard. Character will naturally come out. There aren't intrinsic qualities of the soul. Just like this question about siddhideya, there's the spiritual identity, which is now covered by this body, but not just a body, it's covered by the modes of nature. Still within this body, if we can become free from the contaminating disease-like condition of the modes of nature, our spiritual quality will come out. That spiritual quality, there are intrinsic qualities of the soul along with our whatever particular spiritual form. Here's where Prabhupada says it once again in a very direct way. This is from Nectar of Devotion, chapter 16. Apparently it's a lecture. We must remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Braj Vrindavan is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination. In following the regular principles of devotional service, there is a stage called Anartan Vritti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination. Sometimes someone is found imitating such devotional love, but factually he is not freed from anartas or unwanted habits. It has been seen that a so-called devotee proclaims himself a follower of Nanda, Jasoda, or the gopis, while at the same time his abominable attraction for mundane sex life is visible. Such a manifestation of divine love is mere imitation and has no value. So then this is the key part. When one is actually spontaneously attracted to the loving principles of the gopis, there will be found no trace of mundane contamination in his character. But this, once again, you could ask the question that was, as was asked earlier today, which comes first, some attraction or being freed from anartas, but they progress kind of in increments in a parallel way. So the process of anartha nivritti follows from very, very carefully performing our activities in devotional service. While performing our activities in devotional service very carefully, we will detect those things that are impure. If we're satam, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll detect those things that are unwanted qualities. They may even be just like such habitual parts of our daily way of interacting with others. Something like a barnacle in the bottom of a ship, a big appendage that's growing off the hull of the ship. So we may also have some barnacles in our heart, some very strong things that are just character traits of material contamination that come out and just on a regular basis. But as we perform devotional service, we can detect, here's this unwanted thing. We may not even, until we become sufficiently purified by devotional service, we may not even detect. But when we're able to make that detection, this anartha nivritti means to recognize it and cast it far away. There's a phrase in the Bhagavad Gita, hyavaram karma. Krishna says that the unwanted forms of activity should be cast far away. So there's activities that should be cast away. Prabhupada makes comment in some other quotes here of very obviously undesirable activities like smoking cigarettes. It's a very nasty, unnecessary habit. So that thing is there. It should be thrown away. The habit should be thrown away. So the activity. But then there's also some more subtle things than activities, that is motivations or attitudes or non-Vaishnava-like ways of conducting ourselves. And that should be also detected and discarded. And when a sign is that one has progressed nicely, just repeating something that's already here, those unwanted things will be absent and good character will be manifest. So this is a topic that's easy to speak about for hours and hours and weeks, but this philosophy, let's say discussing the philosophy of awakening our eternal relationship with Krishna in a particular rasa, and all of that philosophy of Krishna consciousness is very high. Our philosophy is very high. And it's given to us in a wonderful way through disciplic succession. So it's perfectly handed down, and we're trying to live by that very high philosophy, but sometimes our conduct doesn't match that high philosophy. Not only our conduct doesn't, but just our basic human things of caring for one another doesn't match that very high philosophy. So what we're hearing here is that it's certainly a sign of one who is very spiritually evolved and advanced, is that such natural good quality of caring for others and being sensitive and aware to the needs of others and interacting in that way, that will be one of one's characteristics. So it will help us to advance in spiritual life, to develop those positive things in furtherance of our activities of sadhana bhakti. Social considerations are important considerations in advancing spiritually. They don't make up spiritual advancement, but they are concomitant. Naturally attendants to spiritual advancement. And we should be quite concerned about them. Here's another quote I'd like to read that addresses a very interesting way the Prabhupada looks at anartha vritti, and that is it's a natural way of life. It will help get us to a natural way of life, and things that are unnatural ways of life, they're to be rejected. Here's what he's saying. It's a morning walk in Mauritius. So Mauritius is a country that's very much an agricultural-based country. And he's saying, Prabhupada, he'll get food that can grow very easily, but they, anartha. This is called anartha. Anartha means unnecessarily. So anartha nivritti civilization, not anartha increasing. Civilization means anartha nivritti shad, or because we are complicated by anarthas, unwanted things, but by nature's arrangement, there are bulls, horses for transport. What is the use of these big, big motor buses? And then acquire petrol, machine, factory, and so many things. But nature's way, there is already means of transport. The horses are there, the bulls are there, but no, they will eat them. And they will create these big motor cars, big, big buses, and then petrol, then fight. Interesting. To the stage of anartha nivritti was that it was something that's in our discussion this morning. It's dependent on nicely performing our devotional activity. The process of hearing and chanting or Krishna Katha, just like I mentioned this before Acharya gave his class on reading Krishna book, something as simple as hearing Krishna's pastimes together, reading on our own or discussing with others Krishna pastime, reading Krishna book and discussing Krishna book. There are spiritual potencies in that subject matter that help to clear the heart. I mean, something that we can all experience when hearing Krishna katha, very nice, it's very pleasing to the heart. And that's what the effect is freeing the heart from other things that are pinching or piercing or troubling the heart. So bringing our attention to Krishna through those very nice topics. Very pleasing, and it's an essential part of the process of anartha nivritti. If we were able to go on just chanting, non-stop chanting, or chanting and discussing Krishna Katha, if we had the capacity to do that, gradually the heart cleansing process would take place. Unfortunately, we don't have such capacity to regularly, maybe occasionally, maybe on Janmashtami we can sit and chant 64 rounds, maybe. Or on Ekadasi, increase our chanting. That's nice. But on a regular basis, this increments have increased, it's difficult to maintain that. So, to help progress, so this is just some general statements, to help progress on the path of anartha nivritti, increase your hearing and chanting activities quantitatively and also qualitatively. It will help cleanse the heart. And as it was just an extension of the discussion from this morning's class, aside from our hearing and chanting activities, in our daily execution of whatever we do every day, our family duties or occupational duties or temple duties, to consider those activities like this Gundicha Marjana effort, our daily duties, it's another opportunity for us, if we take it up, take those activities up in the right way, to purify the heart of unwanted things. We all, for example, have a place where we stay. The brahmachari has his little room somewhere, and the householder has their apartment or their house somewhere, and we all have some place where we park ourselves at night. So, and a place where we brush our teeth and do our other things. So, we should keep those places very clean. That's just to be in, you know, suci, to be in the quality of goodness. But we can do those activities also with the idea that it's externally making something clean, but internally I can take that activity up where I'm making my heart clean. And it's not just that I have to go to the temple room and be nice there. Be clean there and don't speak something harsh there. And outside in the hall, that's okay. Or often in my workplace and my home, it's okay. But I can't do that in front of Thakurji. But our life can be one where the point I want to emphasize is our day-to-day activity can be part of the anartha nivritti process. If we're understanding this is service to Krishna, and the external feature of it is some service to Krishna, somehow some service to Krishna. I'm serving Krishna's devotee, and thereby I'm serving Krishna. And in so doing, my dear Lord Krishna, if you are kind, you please make my heart clean by this nicely, I'm doing this service for you, so that my heart can become clean, so that you will be pleased to come and make your residence there. Of course, Krishna is already in the heart, but we don't see him. We see him on the altar when the door is open. That we can see. But see him in our heart. We know that he's there, but we're not, so that our conscious anartha nivritti is to come to that state where we're feeling Krishna's presence always. But it's not inviting for him to show his presence, although he's there, because our heart's not clean. So not only in our worship, and in our hearing and chanting and the direct devotional activities, we can make progress in anartha vritti. But in our everyday activities, we can cleanse our heart from unwanted things. And going back to this idea also of it's eradication. The emphasis is on efforts that we make to eradicate unwanted things. But we can get rid of the unwanted things very effectively by inviting wanted things. For example, like Prabhupada, something that Prabhupada said about insects, like the little ones that hang over by the sink sometimes, or crawling around any place, little cockroach. The Prabhupada's idea of how to get rid of them is by cleanliness. Where there's summit cleanliness, there's nothing around that's interesting for them. They'll go away. They become you're an unwelcome guest. There's no food for you. Nothing to eat. Goodbye. Prabhupada said like that. There's one way to make sure an unwanted guest leaves. Don't feed them. One way to get rid of cockroaches is just make everything very, very clean. Very, very clean. So one way to get rid of unwanted conditions of heart is try to place in the heart very nice quality for the sake of, not for its own sake, but for the sake of cleansing the heart and making the heart attractive for Krishna to show himself there. Prabhupada makes this just translates the word diksha. So to give, diksha has these two syllables. D is to give, and ksha means to see. So to give darshan, so the imparting of transcendental knowledge, or imparting the presence of Krishna, so that in Krishna's presence, what can stand? What impure thing or contamination can stand? Nothing can stand. So that's why Prabhupada he explains this process of diksha in the Bhajana Kriya stage. It's part of the regular performance of devotional activity. It comes in the course of that. Taking shelter of a spiritual master through the process of initiation connects one with Krishna through that initiation process. And as one's connection with Krishna becomes strong, enhanced by that process of diksha, it helps us progress in this next stage, the eradication of unwanted things. Tomorrow morning I wanted to speak about it this evening, but I thought it would best to separate because there were several things. Tomorrow the discussion will be about, final discussion about how we can take advantage, how we can best take the association of saintly persons, because it's through that association we're less than pure. And through the association of saintly persons who are more purified or very purified, it strengthens our ability to execute the duties of devotional service, to successfully come to the purification stage. Prabhupada gives the example of taking a spark and moving the spark closer to the fire. So nice visual picture. What's a spark when it's taken away from the fire? What happens? The glowing capacity subsides. It may sit there like an ember and kind of pulse a little bit as the wind blows, and still you don't want to go and pick it up, but it's not blazing. But take that same ember and bring it closer to the fire. It becomes brighter, brighter. Place it in the fire. It ignites. The fire capacity comes out. So, saintly association, or just like many of the devotees consistently, this is my experience from these retreats when we come to Giranagari and come together. The devotees who participate in this experience, this exercise, especially when it's just living amongst one another for several days, it's like taking the spark or the ember and putting it in the fire. Very nice. The blazing capacity comes out. And somebody has to come by and pick up the ashes, right? All those impure things that get burned off. Somebody comes in and sweeps up the ashes, tosses them away. And our hearts become more pure by that process. Feel very joyful in the company of devotees. In the heat of the kirtan or the cool of the morning with Mangalarti and Radha Damodar there, and very beautifully smiling at everyone and dancing before their lordships, chanting japa. Each one of these experiences are so wonderful. Chanting japa in association of devotees, isn't it quite different than doing that in your home? Very nice. It's association of devotees. It's a very, very, very valuable thing. It's a priceless thing. Very, very precious thing. It helps to free the heart. And then, while we're here, we say that we should very carefully guard against offenses. And then the positive thing is we should think how we can very nicely associate with and even specifically render some service to the other devotees. And that frees the heart from unwanted things. And doing that in a deliberate manner. Of course, while we're here, deliberately. And then when we go back to our different situations, deliberately thinking, how can I carry this mood? I don't want it to just fade and evaporate. How can I carry that mood? Carry the mood of this extended discussion on anartha nivritti. Take that with you. Take the practice of hearing and chanting in a very regulated way, in a very quality and attentive way. Whatever the association that we have elsewhere, take the same mood of trying to serve the other devotees very nicely and appreciate their association and pray to Krishna that through those same activities our heart will gradually and progressively become freed from unwanted things, so that our attraction to Krishna will grow. We can try like that, make that effort from our side, and depend on Krishna's mercy to carry us further along this path of devotion. So I thought I would just make some of these general remarks and see what discussion would come out of it from whatever we've discussed so far. Any comments or questions? Yeah.
What about like things like in the Nectar of Instruction? I don't recall the exact verse, but it describes when one is devoid of the propensity to criticize others.
Yeah.
I presume from reading that refers not just to devotees, but just in general, just having this critical mindset. So is that what specifically, is it referring to specifically devotees, or just in general, just being devoid of this propensity to put oneself in a superior position and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm just, could I just interrupt for a second? Can the children's playground be something besides right outside this window? You tried, right? And they said, yes, Mataji, and they came right back. Yeah, okay. Sanjaya is a little sterner. I'm having a good time. Okay, so it's specifically about devotees. It's specifically about devotees. But something like what Vegavati was saying this morning, on a very advanced stage, one will be free from that propensity, even others besides devotees. It will not be one's preoccupation, or will be freed from that tendency. Does that help? You have something you're
perfect. Well, I'm just wondering, like, for example, if we go to work or we go to wherever and we see something happening and we say, oh, that's terrible, look what they're doing, type of thing.
Yeah.
That mentality.
Okay. Certainly one has to be discriminating. You have to be able to see what's what. And here, free from the fault finding is one thing, discriminating is another thing. So what do you do with that which you've just discriminated? This is this and that's that. So you've made that distinction. Now what are you going to do with that? Fault finding means just call it a bad name and walk away. Kutinati, that was one of the terms that came from yesterday. So I say something constructive. What can you do as a person who goes to work and sees such and such? It's obviously, it's not something Vaishnava would do. And, you know, it's good to distinguish. Oh, that's something a Vaishnava would not do. So that there's some protection for you in that, you know, it registers. Because if it doesn't register, it may just by osmosis wear off on you, by association wear off on you. You'll accept the association of that mode of nature where one says things and eats things and smokes things and does things and think it's, you know, it's just there it is right next to me and then it's on you. So that's something a devotee would. Here's the mode of ignorance manifesting itself. Here's the mode of passion manifesting itself. That's quite apart from the quality of goodness. And so you've registered. And, you know, to take that a step further, how a Vaishnav will process that distinction. What can I do to help? Here's an opportunity to serve Krishna. What can I do to bring this mode of ignorance behavior or attitude or emotion to this love of Krishna emotion? What can I do? That compassionate contemplation. But I'm very tiny. Well, at least I can desire to do something. I can pray for that soul. I can do something. Something. So you think of what that something, so, and that's also protection. It's also beneficial, but it's also protection. Let me, in along with the lines of what was said here, let me not, Krishna, please protect me, lest I infect this quality also. Please give me engagement in your service. Please keep me engaged in thought of you so that this quality doesn't infect me. And even better, is there some way I can bring Krishna thought to this other person? Anything else? Yeah, she?
This question is somewhat related to this question and criticism. When we find himself surrounded by a situation where the devotees he may have to interact with are usually very critical, and so you're supposed to have a service mood for the devotees, but when we find oneself to be more like a protector and, you know, running away from the devotees because the third sentence may be criticism of somebody else. So my question is that what should one do in this circumstance?
It depends on your position of strength. If you have sufficient strength, just like Prabhupada was asked a question, if two persons are exposed to disease and one person gets disease and the other doesn't get the disease, is it because of karma? And Prabhupada's answer was an interesting answer. He said, I heard it, the same answer to basically the same question given more than once, so it wasn't just a fluke. He said, if one's resistance is low, one will contract the disease. If one's resistance is strong, you know, say your immune system is strong, you won't contract the disease. What's our immune system? How the answer to what should you do depends on how strong your immune system is. Depends on how strong spiritually you are. What you should do. If you're spiritually not so strong, you may have only one option. You leave the place. Don't take up that association. However, if you're strong spiritually, you can help to bring that other person to a more positive position spiritually. And I'm thinking of some situations like that as I'm speaking. And it can be effective. I know of circumstances where it is effective. But I know of some circumstances where some individuals are incorrigible and you just, there's only one thing you can do. Just keep some distance. Just to add something to your question. It's not what you're asking, but it was another discussion I was having today. The internet today is a very good way to get bad association without the person standing right next to you. And it's also some way to get good association, but it's a way to get bad association without even knowing it. Some person you might not associate with in person who knows a little bit how to use technology can spread their bad association all over the place. High speed, bad association. And then persons who get zapped by that bad association, they get infected. Oh, something happened, I got in the web and I... So, one should not, advisable, go into such situations where it's highly diseased, highly infected. I mean, there are some places that are like that. do? You have to be selective.
In certain circumstances when the individual involved is one who is elderly and personally you're very obligated to, now he has the habit of something, telling something, and you have to be there as a social something, so you just leave or stop or
whatever. That kind of thing is there's so much detail involved. You have to know the circumstances. Be polite and be wise, and somehow do both of those things at the same time. That's a statement of your advancement in Krishna consciousness. That's what you just spoken is a statement. One who is advised, as I say, a swan-like devotee. A swan has the ability to take milk from any place, from a filthy place, Prabhupada. So from, you can extract the other things, you just take the milk. So, as your spiritual progress goes further, where, from whom you hear something will not matter as long as it's true. If it's true, you can take it. It's humility, but it's more than humility. Your spiritual situation is not resting upon, it's resting upon Krishna, and Krishna's being pleased. So if someone speaks something that's truthful, Prabhu, it would be in your best interest to improve in this particular way. And you take it. You're right, thank you. I'm very grateful. Now the other part isn't, what you should do with that, your understanding that it would be good for them to also improve in a similar way. How are you going to process that? Understanding. Now we could role play what an unadvanced devotee would do with that information. What do you mean? It's you. And not only that, five other things. And if I'm like this, it's because you're like that. If you'd stop being like that, then I would be free from this. It's your fault. So we shouldn't do like that. If you think it will be beneficial, or it somehow can be communicated by yourself or others in a beneficial way, then by all means, communicate in a beneficial way. If it's not, you can't see how it can be communicated in a beneficial way, you worry about what you can take care of, and that is improving yourself. And that's something that we read in the Gundicha Margin of Purport. Prabhupada was saying, in order to teach others, the best way to teach others is by your own example. And if you have undergone that exercise of freeing your heart from unwanted things, including from, you know, being informed of those needs from those who also have the same need, but you digested that very nicely and you improved yourself, you're then automatically in a position, spiritually at least, to give valuable association to others. Teaching by your good example.
You mentioned about determination. How do you understand determination with respect to the utsaha, the shaya, how does it relate to that?
This question is about determination and how do we, this topic of determination, how does it correspond with nectar of instruction verse, utsahan, nishchayat, dhayayat? Well, it's practically, it's a one-to-one correlation. The utsahan that Rupa Goswami recommends there is that one should be enthusiastic in devotional, in executing devotional activity. So one should be enthusiastic for bhajana kriya. But supposing my enthusiasm or determination for bhajana kriya is sporadic or unsteady, I'm having a problem remaining enthusiastic. I'm having a problem remaining determined because of anarthas. This lack of determination or lethargy, laziness, that's due to impurity on something unwanted in the heart. It's not natural for the soul to be unenthusiastic or lazy. Not natural. Krishna is all attractive, and I'm Krishna's part and parcel. My natural connection with him is very enthusiastic. This other is unnatural. So we try to return to the natural condition, the healthy condition. Yes.
In different, like, different levels of devotional service,
yeah,
as far as determination,
yeah,
you can say that you're more determined to feed the whole population rather than scrub the pot.
Yeah. Yeah. Or scrub our heart.
So you have more determination to feed rather than
And if I'm given the chance to clean the pot or clean my heart, I'll go for the pot. I'll do some work. Give me some of that to do before making my heart pure. So yeah, there's different levels of determination.
Of devotional service.
Yeah, different levels of devotional service. There's likings. There's variety. There's nothing. Let's say going on Harinam Sankirtan. Very nice. I like to go on Harinam Sankirtan. And something else in devotional service I may not like as much. Fasting on Ekadasi. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe somebody likes to fast on Ekadasi and they're shy, they don't like to go and say Harinam Sankirtan.
Then you're not steady.
Huh?
Then you're not steady, right?
Yeah.
So you're trying to attain a steadiness. So the littlest thing and the biggest thing that's at one, you should have some determination to everything.
Okay, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be, when one is steady, whether it's a big thing or a little thing one is facing, that determination is the same. The enthusiasm is the same. I'm as enthusiastic for the little courtesies that make devotee association very nice as I am to be, you know, the pujari who gets to do the mangalarti or one that gets to go milk the cow. Equal. Give the Sunday feast lecture. Equal enthusiasm for all nice things. Okay. Yes.
Unsteadiness in devotional practices or determination to go on.
What's the difference?
Suppose, for example, getting up on the other one. Same desire to get up suddenly every day, but then one doesn't wake up. One day to wake up.
I'm getting lost. Do it again. Start from the beginning.
Suppose somebody is able to wake up sometimes,
then
they're not able to sometimes. Okay. Then able to continue action.
Okay. But unsteadiness, unsteadiness in the performance of devotional activity.
But then the devotee may not. Does it also indicate a lack of determination?
Well, not necessarily. Like, say, here's, in ordinary circumstances, yes, but it may be, for example, it may be that one is sick. And when one is sick, it's difficult. I may be determined, but my sick body just isn't responding.
And it could also be some other.
Yeah, it could be that, you know, somebody screamed at you. So bad that you got so disturbed.
When one becomes fixed, then also one has anatta.
Say again?
When one is fixed, yeah, then also we continue to have anatta.
That's right.
But then
but one's spiritual strength is such that it overcomes those.
And we are able to exhibit continuous steady performance in devotion.
That's correct. That's correct. I mean, there's a quote that I didn't read, but Prabhupada was explaining just exactly what you're saying. He was defining the term nishta. So nishta comes after anarjana vritti. And Prabhupada was saying nishta, steady. And he's saying steady is when the anartas are 60%. He came up with that figure. Gone. Then he said 75%. Then he said 60%. Mostly gone. Largely gone, but not completely gone. But because if they're mostly gone and one's, you know, spiritual consciousness is awakened, 60%, then the steady execution of devotional service goes on. And so that cause of unsteadiness just gets dismissed. Yeah, so the individual who's on the devotee who is on the platform of nishta isn't on the platform of prema. There are some undesirable things that are remaining, but nishta prayeshu, almost gone. 40% left. 25%, 40% left. But they're steady. Their activities of devotion go on. And their motivation and their faith is strong, So they will continue. That's what Prabhupada said, this quote that I read about determination. In the beginning, we struggle with it, up to that nishtha stage. Then it goes very quickly. Progress. So we'll be very, very happy for that day when our devotional service is performed with full, unbending determination. No interruption. Steady. We want that. So we'll discuss some more tomorrow about the role of association in attaining that steadiness. Srila Prabhupada ki.